Welcome to this week two of 40 Days in the Word. We continue our series with our morning message as well as our small groups, which continue, and hopefully that all of them have begun, gotten underway, and things are going reasonably well. We know by now that the Bible is unlike any other book. It is entitled and called by many around the world the Holy Scriptures. Holy, of course, meaning that it is set apart. It has a supernatural power to change things because it is the Word of God. Now, many of you adults here this morning remember several years ago a brokerage firm by the name of E.F. Hutton that used to run commercials on television, some clever commercials. People would be, for example, sitting in a restaurant eating, and some folks at a table, and one would say to another, "Well, my broker is E.F. Hutton," and E.F. Hutton says, and as he or she would say that, the entire place would fall silent, and the rest of the restaurant patrons would lean with their ears to hear whatever it was that E.F. Hutton had to say. Do you remember those commercials? You know, we have a member of our congregation whose first initials are E.F., and when she speaks, people listen. I won't mention who that is. I'll let you spend the rest of the sermon time trying to figure out who that is. God's word is like that. When we hear that God is a source, we have a natural curiosity to hear what it is that God wants to say. Think about how powerful God's word really is. In Psalm 33:6, we read, "The Lord merely spoke and the heavens were created. He breathed the word and all the stars were born." In other words, when God speaks, things come into being. Things that were not come to fruition. God's word gives life. Jesus, when he was challenged by Satan in the desert, answered him at one point, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God." You know it. And just a moment ago, we read in our lesson this morning, Jesus' words, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." God's word is not mere words, it is alive. In Hebrews 4:12, we read, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Two words, living. The Greek word there is the literal word zoe, which means life, not in the sense of biology with blood pressure and cells, but life of the spirit. And active, the Greek word there is energos, from which we get the word energy. Jesus spoke the word in his ministry on earth. He spoke the word and people were healed. He spoke the word ephata and a deaf man's ears were opened. He spoke to Lazarus in John chapter 11. "Lazarus, come forth," and the man came to life. He spoke to a young girl lying on her deathbed, "Talitha kumi," "little girl, arise," and she came to life. The Bible, according to Dwight L. Moody, was not meant to increase knowledge, but to change and transform the human heart. How does God's living word change me? How does God's word change you? It does so in seven ways. It starts by recreating life within us itself. The Word of God can change things in your life that you cannot change by yourself, try as you might, try as I might. In James 1:18, we read, "He chose to give us birth through the Word of truth." Without God's Word, without the Gospel, the good news, we could not be saved from our sin. We are born again, we are given new life. A whole new life, not merely turning over a new leaf, but a whole new life through his proclaimed word. Apostle Paul told Timothy, "The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." We can know salvation and eternal life through the word of God itself. The Bible itself is often compared to a seed. 1 Peter 1:23, "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." The second way that God's word can change your life and mine is to eradicate guilt. We often hear people say, "I feel so guilty." Well, here's what God has to say about that. We read this and we confess this each week in our worship. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Romans 8:1, we read words of the Apostle Paul, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Most people, most adults, are stuck with memories from the past that cannot get over. Memories of things done or memories of things done to us. How important it is to hear the life-giving word that eradicates guilt and shame, that cleanses us from the inside out. Just the other night at our Ash Wednesday service, our theme was repentance and the theme of cleansing, changing direction, being clean from the inside out. Psalm 51, the familiar words, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." God's word is like soap. It disinfects us. In Ephesians 5:25, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. And Jesus, in the final night with his disciples, on the night in which he was betrayed, in John 15, told his disciples, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." The word of God also changes us by activating our faith. Faith is word activated. The promises of God raise our expectations. Paul wrote in Romans 10, "Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." Have you ever heard the word of God taught and felt a sense of courage and hope rise up within you? We have a member of our congregation that I know enjoys listening to old sermons from 1961, 2, and 3 from Lutheran Vesper broadcasts 50 plus years ago. He listens to them, and I do too, because we feel a deep sense of inspiration and hope and encouragement in listening to the word preached and opened in ways that we can understand and apply to our daily living. The word of God creates and satisfies a hunger at the same time. I'm reminded of the words of the great old hymn, "I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest." In Exodus 23, 29, and 30, we read, "I will not give you the whole land in a single year." God is speaking now to the people of Israel as they come into the promised land. "Because you wouldn't be able to handle it. Instead, you will overtake it little by little until you have grown enough to take possession of it all." God's word is like manna to us. He gives food for the day, not for the week, not for the year, but day by day, God gives us just what we need, enough nourishment in his word to feed us for the day. The word of God changes us further because it stimulates our growth. In Acts 20:32, we read, "I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified," that is, being made holy. Give you an inheritance. An inheritance is getting all that rightly belongs to you as a child of God. Rick Warren, in his presentation on this material, drew the illustration out of imagining yourself this morning being the son or daughter of Warren Buffett. Many of you know who Warren Buffett is. He seems to get quoted whenever there's economic news. He's sort of like E.F. Hutton of today. People listen. Just imagine being a son or daughter of Warren Buffett and never having ever read the will at the event of his passing, not knowing what is rightfully yours. Believers in Christ are also belongers and have received already a rich inheritance of the Word of God, with all of its treasure in store, waiting for any who will hear and read and understand. In 2 Timothy 3, we read, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word teaches us. It shows us the path to walk on. God's word from time to time rebukes us. It shows us how we got off the path. Third, God's word corrects us. It shows us how to get back on the path. And that's the part of the word of God sometimes we don't want to hear. We don't want to understand that because God's word changes me from the inside. It sharpens and hones and takes some of the edges off. And finally, God's word, according to 2 Timothy, trains us and teaches us how to stay on the path in the first place. God's word changes us further because it illuminates our minds. It gives light to. In Psalm 119, verse 130, we read, "Understanding your word brings light to the minds of ordinary people." You ever notice how brightening a light in a room or under the hood of a car or under a sink when you're fixing a faucet or a drain, how the intense light increases the detail of what you're working on? God's light, his word, in like manner dawns on us. It comes upon us gradually as we meditate on his holy word. It changes and illumines and brightens our mind. The psalmist writes again in chapter 119, "I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes." Psalm 119 and 105, a familiar verse to us, made popular by a song 30 plus years ago, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Light gives direction to our life. Our memory verse for this week, Psalm 119:18, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." God's word is like a flashlight. A flashlight lights only a few feet ahead. We can't always see the long distance of the trail or the path that we're on. To get more light down the path, I have to take a few more steps. That's why it's important to be in God's word regularly, daily, if possible. God's word changes us because it also elevates our mood. Romans 15:4. "Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." The scriptures are there to encourage and to give us hope. Psalm 119:114 reads, "You're my place of quiet retreat. I wait for your word to renew me." But do we? Do we wait for God's word to renew us? Do we, with our televisions on, with our iPads, iPods, iPhones, and everything, with constant input? We're going to be talking in this following week here, the four essentials and the six steps for an effective and important daily quiet time. TV can tell us what to do, but it doesn't have power to change us like the Word of God. In other words, we need to listen more to Dr. Luke than Dr. Phil to have encouragement and hope that literally changes our lives and our outlook on life. And finally, God's Word changes us because it liberates our potential. Only God knows how to unlock your full potential. Jesus said in John 8, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." How do we gain these benefits from God's word? First of all, we learn it. You can't do something you've never learned about before. Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, 24, "Your trouble is that you don't know the scriptures." And many of our troubles, maybe many of our problems, come from not knowing what the Word of God says and speaks to us. Our problem is our response. The Bible tells us how to act, how to live in most situations. We need to learn it, to be immersed in it. Secondly, we need to accept it as our authority. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. We accept it as our authority. It is the voice that speaks singularly into our lives, giving us the direction, the hope and encouragement that we need. And third, we benefit by acting on it. John 13:17, Jesus said, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. My dad was not always the greatest teacher. He taught many, many things to us, certainly growing up. But I remember one particular time we had trouble with an old lawnmower. It wasn't running very good anymore. And he said it's time to do something about it. So he decided to overhaul it. And he had my brother and I down there in the basement. It was wintertime. We tore this motor apart. And he was going to show us a little bit about small engine repair. He got the tools. We watched him tear it apart. He's talking as he's doing this. He's demonstrating to us. And I remember the one particular point where we had to grind the valves on. He got the valve grinding compound. We took a dart gun dart on the end of the valve and just sat and turned that valve until it ground even with the seat. Some of you, mostly guys, know what I'm talking about here. But what I remember about it was how Dad did that, just in that order. We got the tools. We watched him take it apart. He's talking. He demonstrates what needs to be done. And then he turned it over to us. Actually do it. We put the engine back together, pulled the rope, and it ran. And it actually worked. We saw how to do it, we were instructed, and then we did it. Dad was not always the most patient teacher, but he taught us some of the basics of engine repair in the basement of our old house. Word of God is like that. We hear it, we see it, demonstrated in the lives of others around us. As I mentioned last week, one of the key components in our faith development is trusting the people that have placed that word of God into our lives, watching their lives live it out, not perfectly, but watching them live it out, and then being entrusted with that word to live it ourselves. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Living and active, the word of God seeks to change your life and mine. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We stand as